This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hailing from Grand Rapids, Michigan, they have proven time and again that they are one of the most electrifying live bands on the road today. They are Pop Evil.
Here I come, yeah! I'm
Tonight you can see them live on stage at the Truman. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, Pop Evil bassist Matt Derrido.
I didn't realize you were going to make it into the studio this morning, brother.
Yeah, man, it was
good to see you. It was kind of a
tight call, man. But you know, round two.
Where'd you guys play last night?
We had the day off. Sort of off. We played in Detroit two nights ago, but yesterday We had this event in Michigan. We went up and it was, I guess, probably about half a year ago now. There's this little kids choir up in Freeland, Michigan, you know, elementary school kids that did a cover of our song Waking Lions. And we saw it on YouTube. So they did this whole big thing where their choir teacher made like an arrangement of Waking Lions on the piano, and they, you know, sang it, did choreography and stuff like that. And they did it as part of like their, you know, fall festival thing. So we surprised them yesterday.
They had no idea.
No, we went to school.
So good.
They thought that they were going to FaceTime us. So, you know, we pulled up and they all got in the gymnasium and, you know, we mocked this FaceTime thing with them.
Right.
We're like, hey, we're having trouble hearing you. Hang on. We're going to try to call you back. And then we walked in the room and these little kids just like erupted, you know. It's really fun.
That is great. I was listening and I was looking for it on video here. Greg, is it online?
It's going to be online. Okay. We got some photos and they have yet to put the video out and stuff like that.
That's the stuff I'm a sucker for. Like a little kid doing that. Like I get all choked up. Like I'm a pussy when it comes to that stuff.
It was the best day off, man. And it, you know, gives you goosebumps. We just let them sing for us, you know what I mean? And then did some question and answer kind of stuff and then pictures and all that.
How did they do? Were they excited about it?
It's probably the best that I've ever heard that song.
That's great, right?
Yeah,
right.
Seriously, you know, 120 kids like singing it and breaking it down.
See, that's the key. So many bands screw it up. It's incredible to be on the road to play for crowds like the Truman tonight. But it's the things that you're missing. I see these guys that don't get off the bus, they don't wake up, they don't do whatever. And I go, there's a world you're seeing that you could never have seen otherwise.
Yep.
I think Lizzie and Joe are pretty good about it from Hailstorm, about getting up and walking about. Duff from GNR is really good about getting up and walking about.
Yep.
Because, man, you tour the world. The world. You know, when you were a kid growing up, I mean, obviously, the greatest thing in the world you can imagine is to be a rock star. But that other part of you, as you get a little older, you go, you know, most people can't, you know, it's hard for them to get out of their zip code.
Yeah, exactly. We went to Australia for the first time since I saw you. It was amazing. I thought we were going to be super jet lagged and everything like that. It was the most at home that I felt in a foreign country.
Because they're all crazy, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Aussie, they're all born of convicts. Every Australian I've ever been dear friends with has been a madman. When I say a madman, the first Australian I really knew, the guy, I remember his name to the day I die, Luke Barrickett. I'd moved to L.A. when I was 18. We went to the Seventh Vale, and he was on walkabout for a few months, so he just crashed our place. We literally met this kid on the street.
I love it.
And you know, we didn't know any better. Hell, he might have been a serial killer, but he wasn't, and he did stick his finger at a stripper, and he immediately got it broken and thrown down a set of stairs in the Seventh Vale. And that was my... Oh, You would never want to do that moment.
Yeah.
I was probably 18, 3 weeks old, and that was the first time I ever saw a guy's finger get broken by another person on purpose. And first time I ever saw it die, a guy thrown down a set of stairs with a vengeance.
That's great.
God, the second great Australian friend of mine from Curaçao, who was a barrister, and he's a full-bore lawyer. He's also a wicked drug addict and he does all the fire juggling. So every conceivable kind on the chains, they all have weird names, but the balls, the chains, the sparks, the whole bit, completely out of his goddamn gourd. We started drinking one day at noon. I thought we'd have a cocktail at lunch. We stopped a day and a half later.
That's amazing.
Yeah. those days are in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes for good stories, though. Yeah. I mean, it's something to remember as
Bob and I are putting together a motorcycle trip across Australia. That's the one thing we haven't got to yet.
Really?
Yeah, so what do you think?
That's awesome.
I mean, because you've been there. What do you think?
Yeah.
Is that a good trip?
Oh, I think it's going to be amazing. Yeah. You know, we had to fly from city to city, so I didn't get to see a ton of the landscape. Yep. But, you know, just from the moment we landed, going from the airport to the hotel, it was like immediately saw kangaroos on the side of the road.
Nice.
Like, oh, man, you got to watch out for those guys like deer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's our one thing is because it's so expensive. You want to take your own bike, but you're not going to be able to. Just shipping it to Australia is absurd. It's a waste of money. So we'll pick up rentals there, fly there, and we're just trying to pick the path. And it's going to take a couple weeks, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of really rough terrain, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Lord knows that's our fun deal. We did Baja, which wasn't super bad. Mazatlan was terrible. Like, I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. From my crossover to El Paso and they'd get to Mazatlan. Really fun. I enjoyed it. But it's a lot of different ways to get smoked on that trip.
You can check that off the list.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your next one?
You know, I'm not sure. We've got a little bit of time off right before Sturgis this year. So, and out of all the years that we've done it, I've never ridden my own bike there. And
you're gonna come in from Michigan?
Yeah,
that won't be bad, man. Yeah. It's an ugly ride from Kansas. I've done it so many times now. I don't even feel a small bit of shame about trailering because it's an ugly ride from Kansas City.
It's just straight north
and then straight left. Yeah. You're just like, this sucks. Until you hit the Badlands, it just looks like Kansas all the way up.
Yeah, I believe it.
The death march from here to Colorado is just, it's never fun getting out of Kansas, man.
So shortly after Sturgis, we're starting back up with, we're going out on tour with Skillet and Seven Dust.
Ah, that's right. I did. You know, there's a huge, oh my God, dude, there's a huge beef between Skillet and this radio station.
And, really?
Oh yeah. And again, it's their fault. I mean, I say their fault. It's their issue, not our issue. Let me rephrase that.
I mean, you have to say that on behalf of the station, of course.
Well, so here's what happened. You know, they've got, they're a faith-based band, which has nothing, you know, radio, we don't give a goddamn about any of it. We're here to play songs that people want to hear.
Right, other side might.
We're greedy, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's simple. So they don't get put on a rock fest show or a show. And so the singer decides to start putting out stuff that were anti them because of their religious background. I'm like, why don't you just write a good song?
Yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah,
because we'll play that. I don't care if you worship turtles, you dummy. And so that started like a 10-year, decade-long feud between Skillet and this radio station.
Wow.
Simply because we're like, look, man, I don't have a problem if you don't like us. Call me an a-hole.
But don't
say it's because I don't care what you worship. Nobody cares. Write a song that doesn't suck.
Right.
So, and that's my opinion. So. It'll be interesting to see if they've mellowed out. But I think they were young, and I'm sure they were just butthurt, and it just seemed like the thing to do, or who knows what management told them that was a smart idea.
Sure.
But Bob, who, by the way, has never met a grudge he didn't love. Bob has grudges from 8th grade.
Hello.
How's your relationship with Skillet these days?
It is strained.
Now, did I tell that story correctly?
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but they basically, we weren't playing some single they had out. They were in town doing some show, and I come to work on a Monday morning, and I have like 7,500 emails. I can't believe you won't play Skillet because they're a Christian band, and all these emails. So I guess on stage the night before, they're just like, hey, 98.9 The Rock won't play us because we're a Christian band. I have no idea where they got that from, but the Christian fan base out there, I can tell you, is quite mobilized. They all have an internet connection. connection.
Wow.
But I got like a gazillion emails. Yeah. And all I can think of is I bet because we didn't play the track, maybe that's the record label or someone told them that. But boy, you know, they, you know, in their own skillet sort of way, they brought on the heat. I'll give them that.
So, the wrath.
So, yeah, exactly. I heard from about 10,000 keyboard warriors out there. So
I thought to myself, wow, you should pray to God to write a better song.
You know what? That's a more practical solution.
That would be great. That would be a fantastic deal. So that'll be fun, man. I'll be interested to see if they're still spreading that gospel.
We'll see. But
I do miss them.
So I would say this: they have an active fan base. I'll give them that.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. So again, I have no issue with the band. They're a fine band. Yeah. I literally don't know any of them, man. I'm sure it's fine. I find that kind of scamboogery to be like, look, man, you don't have. It's just ridiculous.
Sure, you know, I think we did something similar when we were young and first hit the road too,
man.
And you know, just didn't understand why we weren't getting played. Right. Somewhere, you know,
and you think you can kind of force the issue. Oh, look, we've done it as a radio station before with clients or whatever. Like, it doesn't go well. Subway to this day doesn't advertise with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
The skill guys have always been great to us.
We've toured before in the past.
But, you know, we've done shows in certain towns and, you know, said to the crowd, like, hey, you know, like, we're not getting played in your city. You know, call up your local radio station.
They get turned around, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you never know how that stuff's
going. Now, again, it sounds much more aggressive than it really is. It's not at all. I mean, if the guy walked in here today, we could squash the whole thing. May not play the next song. If it's good, we'll play it. Well, right. That's the thing you try to explain to people. Go, guys, I don't think you understand the business we're in.
Yep.
We're not in the business of judging. We're in the business of ratings. Like, it doesn't matter what. You think I love every song we play? Of course not. It would be absurd to think that.
Mm-hmm.
If I played everything I wanted to on this radio station, we'd be in last place. Because I have a very specific love of certain kinds of music.
Yeah, same here. No one would want to listen to the Matt Dorito playlist.
That's it.
It wouldn't exist.
Well, people ask you, do you listen to radio? I go, no, man. I mean, what do you listen to? When somebody asks me that, it depends on the mood, the time of year, what vehicle I'm in.
What I'm doing that day.
Yes.
If I'm in the garage, it's totally different than if I'm, you know, in the car.
Yes. And you don't have speakers on your bikes. You always run stripped down. But
right.
Like on my Street Glide, like if we're making an Arkansas run and it's morning, it's always Southern. Always Southern, mm-hmm. Man. It's just that big groove. Like you want something that's just a big sing-along. And if you're mad, you're somewhere else. It's always going to be metal. If you're really, really mad, you go back to Rollins Band Lifetime or some old punk rock, Black Flag, Fugazi, like that. You know, if you've been drinking, it might be George Jones. It might be Parliament Funkadelic. It could be either one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the fun stuff.
You know, whenever I head out on my own, if it's been a while since I've been on the bike, I always get like the Easy Rider soundtrack going through my head, a little Born to be Wild.
Sure, absolutely. You know? Well, I finally had to stop by.
The Pusher Man.
Oh, goddamn the Pusher Man.
Yeah.
You, I finally had to get speakers on a bike. I rode to Fairbanks, Alaska with Bob on a Road King with no windshield because I thought that was, you know, made you weak.
I'm still there. I'm still young enough to be that dumb.
God damn it. I got the same song stuck in my head, up, up and away in a beautiful balloon. And I only know that line. That's the line. And it literally.
You're just kind of like humming the rest
like
in your head.
Like a skipping record. It went for 1,000 miles. And I got home and I was like, yeah, no, I'm never doing that again.
Oh, man.
There's a new thing because if you ever hit a helmet state, there's a thing called a Domio. Have you seen this? It's
nope.
A transducer that goes on your helmet. And they're releasing it in May. And I've got a couple on order. So it goes in the back of your helmet, and it's a big transducer that feeds from your telephone, and it turns your entire helmet into a speaker.
That's like some astronaut stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. For when you got to wear a helmet, if you have to wear one, like I'm telling you, like it's going to be fantastic for that business.
You know, I've got a little skid lid that I've worn, stayed in and stayed out for, you know, past 15 years and never had a problem. I mean, non-DOT, never been...
Nobody ever does, you know, man.
No one
and
cares
God,
anymore.
Knock on wood. Hey, if you're just joining the show, Matt Dorito from Pop Evil. We've talked about everything except rock and roll at this point.
Yeah, it seems to be the way it goes.
Well, man, listen, we got a lot of motorcycle guns and traveling and stuff to catch up on.
Yeah, that's right, man. And I'm really looking forward to this tour with the Dust, man. It's been a long time since we toured with those guys.
Great.
I think I was still drinking the last time we were on tour together.
Really?
So, yeah.
Dude, LJ, they just left. I had dinner with him last week, and he left Friday for New Zealand. And then he'll get back. And
yeah, you know, we saw posters for them while we were down there.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's they're doing that, then he's going to come back, and then you guys go out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's just a wonderful cat, and he's just one of those guys you love. His whole family, Ashley, just his son, King, is the best, like the best. That kid, I can't tell you how much I love him, man. And he was singing her son-in-law, technically,
but yes.
Is Dan from Dan and Shay. So, you know, there's one of the big CMAOs, and he was, where's that video? We're sitting at dinner the other night. In Kingston, we're like, what are you singing? He's literally singing Tequila, that country music song that won all the awards. Yeah. I'm like, what are you letting your kid listen to, LJ? What is happening here?
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. What a kid. I mean, just what a kid.
I love watching that kid jam because she'll just post videos of him. He's so adorable.
It was on Over the Top. So let's see here. See if it'll
take. Heyday. Oh. Sing it loud so everybody can hear you.
So sweet.
Oh, he's got great pitch, too.
Go ahead, buddy.
I ain't even drunk. I'm a little drunk.
Yeah. It's so funny you said pitch because the second it was over, LJ looks at me and goes, did you hear his pitch?
Yeah.
I was like, that's right. I got it. But what a great family, man.
That's awesome.
Really nice, dude. So you guys are going out. How long are you guys going to be out with them?
End of August through September, so probably about 5 weeks or so.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. So listen, you in a hurry, you good?
I'm good.
All right. Let me grab golf with Sports Illustrated. So are we going to do Chris? Is golf ready? All right. Let me do some sports so we don't lose him, and then you'll hang out. And the show, by the way, is the Truman Tonight. It's the Make Good Show. It snowed out. We had that great day, that February day, hung out, and then
Don
bam.
Jameson was here and, hanging out.
How did that all turn out, by the way?
Oh, the tour with him was amazing. We miss him dearly.
He's awesome.
We text him all the time and tell him what he's missing out on.
Good dude, man. What a great guy. All right. We found that diet. When you first stopped in, we were talking about your day off yesterday.
Yeah.
If you're just joining the show, Matt Dorito from Pop Evil, the guys are playing tonight at the Truman. There are a few tickets available. If you guys would like them, you need to get them early. It's a make good date at the Truman tonight. You had a day off yesterday in, was it Detroit or Michigan?
In Michigan, just north of Detroit.
And you were talking about this choir you'd seen that the kids, 120 kids, had done a cover, and they were doing Waking Lions.
Yep.
And it was just their music teacher was a cool teacher.
Yep.
And
young
so
guy.
How did you find out about that?
People started sending us the video.
Okay.
Like crazy.
And so you guys surprised the kids yesterday. They had no idea the whole band is coming by.
Yeah, right. And actually, it's funny because that was a makeup date, too.
Oh, you guys, and you, oh, yeah, hell yeah.
That was, like, relatively close to the time that we were coming here last time.
And you just couldn't make it.
We were all set to make it, but the kids had a snow day.
Got it. No, that bomb cyclone was murdering everything.
Yeah, they had no idea that we were coming in anyway, so no skin off their back. But
they think it's a FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does it start? Like, the kids are in there, and they're watching a screen, and you guys are...
Big projection screen. Yeah, the local radio was in town and stuff. And they're like, oh, you know, this is a big deal. Pop Evil's going to call in from the road. And we were in their Spanish class, like two doors down from the gymnasium. It was really pretty awesome.
So here's a clip of those singers, the Prowley Street Singers. Isn't it amazing how the entire feel of the song changes meaning-wise?
Yeah, I never would have heard it that way.
No.
You know, to hear kids singing it in that context, it just makes sense.
It's, yeah.
You know, they've got their little hand gestures down and all that
so
kind of stuff.
It's so easy to go past that and miss that moment.
Yeah.
Dude, this is that's what you'll have. Money gets spent. Everybody has their time in the light. everybody. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you're the Stones, sometimes you're not. And but that's the stuff. Like when you get old, when you think back, you go, yeah, that's the stuff that matters.
Yeah, and they're gonna remember that.
Yeah.
You know? I was thinking the whole time when we were in there yesterday, I was like, man, if I were these kids and someone that I looked up to came in and just gave us the chance to like do our performance for them.
Yeah.
Hang out, talk to us.
Are you kidding? That kind of moment. I remember seeing the Air Force band came to our high school. They had a metal band. You remember that?
Nice.
They had like a metal band. That was like part of the recruiting thing. But these guys actually had like long hair and everything. Like they were a real band.
I knew they had like jazz bands or big bands.
They had a metal band. Again, I remember thinking, this is beyond fantastic.
That's
it was
awesome.
Probably ninth grade when I saw it. I mean, just murdered it. And it was like in a gymnasium. But at the time, it might as well have been Van Halen, right?
Yeah.
And but yeah, that stuff has an incredible effect on you as a kid. You know, just music does. Like, who was the first band like that just you were just tore up? Like, it was Lock the Door, I'm in the Band.
Mm. Ugly Kid Joe.
That's so great. Yeah. Whitfield, to this day, is a dear friend.
Yeah, I know you mentioned that before,
yeah,
I think.
He used to sleep on the floor of my studio apartment. The whole band did, and their road crew. When they first started to tour with that first EP, they'd come through town and we would scrape together enough money for hot dogs. And we'd eat so many hot dogs over the course of 2 days, my apartment would smell like hot dogs for a month.
Oh, I love
that. That hot dog water smell.
Yep.
And to this day, Whitfield and I still stay dear friends, man.
Man, I still have like the original cassette tape, you know, like the two.
Sure.
I think it only had like two songs on it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it was like one of the first pieces of music I ever picked out for myself as a kid.
Oh, dude, and as a bass player, like, there was a lot of cool stuff. Cordell was hammering it back in the day. There was some really interesting stuff on that. And those guys were so just out of control. Klaus Einstein was such an underrated guitar player, and still to this day is, and can write great songs. I love that band, and they drug us through the ringer in the early days.
Dude, like, so many great musicians, like, just out of that era, like, right around there, and then, you know, like, the whole grunge thing happened and a lot of them went unnoticed.
Yeah. Well, have you and Witt connected?
No.
Because you're the same. Uh-huh. Like, you guys are similar in a lot of ways. Like, he's on the bench now, right now. He's sober, but he's so curious and he constantly moves. You know, he was dear friends with Lemmy. Ozzy sent him over to when first time they ever got Sabbath back together, Ozzy called Witt and said, I'd like you to go warm them up in Birmingham.
That's awesome.
And he went and got Iommi and Geezer and everybody together. He used to ride the bus with Lemmy. When they'd come off tour, he'd join the Motorhead tour and just ride and listen to stories all night with Lemmy.
That's
and
awesome.
Listen to music. And, you know, the last party with Lemmy was, I got a picture of he and Trujillo. And, you know, you could tell Lemmy wasn't long for the world. He was thin and he didn't look good. But I mean, he's one of those guys, like, he just moves this world constantly.
Yeah, you said he's like a true nomad, right?
Yeah.
Like, you never know whose couch he's going to be on or what phone number to get him at.
He was in, literally, this is how weird this guy is. And that's what makes him so fantastic. Let me see if I can find us here. Hey, man, leaving Santa Teresa in 2 days' time. I'll be in France for a week starting April 19th. UKJ plays a heavy metal cruise the 26th and 27th. We dropped off on the Spanish island of Majorca. Be there for a couple weeks writing songs and getting rad. Come hang, my brother. He said, and then I got another text that just said, I now have a pet lizard and I walk to the gym daily. And it just literally shows him walking a giant iguana to a gym. That's how weird it is with this guy. All the time. I may call him tomorrow and he'll be like, I'm in NASA. We might be astronauts now. Yeah. I mean, he's that guy. You guys would be famous friends. I promise you.
That's awesome.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back. And do we have any tickets, by the way? We have a handful, right?
Yeah, we got like two or three
pairs. All right, Pop Evil tickets. Stay right there. We'll come right back with Matt from Pop Evil. Tonight at the Truman, there are still a few tickets available. In fact, I'm going to hook you guys up. But then Rocklahoma, which I'll be down for that as well, man.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
That'll be a good festival this year, man.
It's going to be a blast.
I'm excited about that. That's a good 3 day. And is it just every, what day are you playing there? You're playing on Friday. I'm going to have to scooch down early then.
Yeah!
Because I was planning Saturday, Sunday, but I can go three.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, so much stuff to talk about. We, besides obviously the band Pop Evil, you walk in here. Did you see this, Nick?
No.
So Ballistic Magazine, the premier firearms and survival magazine. Like, it's a really nice magazine. Look who is on the cover.
Look at that. If that's not what your wall in your house is, You're out of your mind. That is an amazing picture.
How great is that photograph?
It's a beautiful picture.
Shoot a snap of it and put it up. But the handlebar mustache, he's got the villain top hat, the handgun, the tattoo. I mean, it's a great picture, man.
I was going to say, like, those photos are like 6 years old or something like that. And ended up being my first cover. I had no idea it was up for the cover, but I've never had one before. And it figures it's not even anything in the music world.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
It makes it better to me because it says he's the cover. And then In the Trenches of the Pop Evils, Matt Dorito rocks on bass, builds 1911s, helps kids battle cancer. Also ruins all other men.
I'd hand that to every third person if I'm you.
Yeah.
Get a copy of this. Have you seen this?
We said there's like a 6-foot picture of it at the Cabot.
Cabot. Yeah. It's massive.
Yep.
It's embarrassing.
Awesome and weird at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed. Very creepy. Don't be embarrassed.
You want to see the ones where he's not clothed?
Don't be embarrassed.
But people don't know. Like, besides being in this great band, how many albums now at Pop Evil?
Five.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big run now, because when we're putting the intros and outros together, now we got to cut songs.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys are putting together set lists and cutting songs.
Dude, we can do like 45 minutes of radio singles.
That's great.
At some of these festivals.
That's unheard of now.
It's great, man.
But on the side, like, you don't ever slow down. That people don't know. Like, and this is such an interesting thing. So you also build guns.
Yes.
And I looked this up. You guys built a gun completely out of meteorite, and never been done before. And the gun's value, there's two of them, right?
Two of them, yeah. A left-handed one and a right-handed one.
They're going to sell them as a pair.
Yep.
And what do they look at? Last time I saw, was it around four?
Four and a half.
$4.5 million is what they're going to go for. Because it had never been done before. And you had part of it. You did the grips.
Yeah. Well, I've done other sets of grips. So we took a lot of the spare chunks of meteorite and made any kind of little parts that we could. So yeah, I was lucky enough to get a hand in that, and also
it's a big deal because you screw
stuff
that up
for other guns.
It's expensive.
That was it. I mean, I think the rock itself was like close to $900,000. It's like the
how big is a $900,000 rock?
About the size of like a deflated basketball.
Wow,
it's kind of what it looked like. But I think it was the largest. I could be wrong on this. I'm pretty sure it's the largest privately sold meteorite in history, because a lot of that stuff is government owned.
Sure.
You know, and that one in particular came off of like a really famous meteorite, broke into a bunch of pieces. It's called the Gideon meteorite and hit over Africa.
Okay.
Like long time ago. So there are other chunks of it, like in museums and stuff like that.
Somebody raises their hand at a meeting and goes, we should spend $1 million on a meteorite and then try to make it into a gun.
Yeah.
Two guns. What could go wrong?
Yeah. And that's the fun thing about, you know, working with this company is like, you know, most people are trying to save a buck on everything that they do and figure out how do we get, you know, the most pieces out the door for the lowest cost possible. And with this, like our CEO, he's always pushing the envelope of like, well, what can we do that's different and cool and exciting and that hasn't been done before?
Yeah, well, then that's what's left. I mean, because either you're going to be a huge manufacturer and you're going to get military deals and you're going to sell guns that way, or you're going to produce something that nobody's ever seen before, and that's the hardest thing.
Yeah, and it's really interesting stuff, man.
I mean,
we had a gun that we just did recently. It was in like Forbes magazine, and you know, like just ridiculous stuff.
When you're doing those grips, and because you were explaining this to me, because you want to use some of the texture that's on the meteorite,
right?
Because that's the fun, right? I mean, that's what shows it's a meteorite. That's the show point. That's the focal point. That it's very clear that's a meteorite.
Yep.
Everything else has been milled, and it has to be very, very tight. This has got to be. You got to find the part that fits the hand correctly, ergonomically, and then not disrupt the natural texture of it. And then you can't screw it up because you probably got one piece for the right and one piece for the left that's really a good natural fit.
A good fit, yep.
And so you blow that, like it's bad.
Yeah, it's cool. I think I might have showed you a video last time I was in here of like a set of grips that I made.
Yeah.
I made some different stuff out of it. And it's really cool to be able to cut through that and weld it and stuff, because there's only a handful of people in the world that have ever machined meteorite. But, it's funny because you got the guys that paid for it, and then I come in and I'm working with it, and they're like, oh, you know, make sure you're real careful to do this and do that, and I'm like, it's all good. I'm gonna throw some like biker trigonometry at it, which is just like throwing it out on a table and going,
let me eyeball this. Yeah, I got it.
I'm gonna tack it up to this plate here and there, and then put it on a sign plate and kind of
just eyeball it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. You're like, don't worry. I got my master's in trig. They're like, really? No, not at all. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's a lot of like eyeballing and then really precise, you know, machinery.
I'd like to tell you that I was not that long ago we were building these tables and I was really excited because I'd learned to weld and cut right angles and make the frame and I didn't screw it up too bad. And I realize now it's not as impressive. I was really chuffed with myself because I was like, I didn't have to go back and cut it a piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because it's got to fit a certain way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel as good now. But it doesn't feel as good.
It is impressive, man. And and you realize no matter what kind of job you're doing,
yeah,
there's a certain amount of slop in certain places
that
you can accommodate for. Obviously, like, you know, with those guns, there's a lot less of that because we only had enough to do the two. But so the frames and slides, man, we made like a ton of them out of, you know, a ton of test pieces.
Right.
First, out of like different materials.
Yeah, you have to because Jesus Christ, man! Like, because you didn't melt this down and then start over.
No,
no, you milled it from the original piece. It wasn't like you turned it into another form and then went back after it.
Yep.
This was done cut by cut by cut.
Yep, threw it on a bandsaw, cut it up, and you know started trying to find good pieces of it to use. I mean, we mapped it all out. You know, like
four and a half million. And you guys have a prospective buyer.
We've had a few, but we're pretty particular about who buys it.
Sure. Cause you guys cost wise, you're at least $1 million and not counting man hours, just in your material.
Yeah. Quite a bit.
And, it's like,
yeah, they did a cool thing. They've done some cool documentaries and things on it. You know, we got a lot of good footage as it was being built and put together. And, what's the name of the show? It's called like Gun Stories or something like that. Mm. And, this dude, Joe Montana, hosted.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they had like an entire episode that was just about those guns, about Cabot in general, but mostly
it's
about those guns.
Always interesting to see who's into shooting now. And there's a whole lot of musicians and actors that are in shooting that aren't into, they're not the demonstrative ultra Second Amendment outcrying people. Like, it gets old to me. Like, and I love shooting. You know, we talk about it a lot. I like shooting. I like guns. And I certainly support the Second Amendment, but that's where it ends. It's not a religion to me. It's a pastime. It's a hobby, and it's something genuinely fun to do because it's anybody who can shoot well knows it's exactly the opposite of that hysteria. It is a zen. There is a calm that has to be inside of you. If you want to shoot well, you've got to be able to center down and shoot. That's why women can be an incredible shot. Every girl I've ever taught to shoot could outshoot me or shoot as well as I eventually.
Yeah. That's
because they're just calm. They don't attack it.
A lot of truth to that.
They're not trying to stab it.
Yep.
You know, that was what it always has been. It's a calming thing. You have to settle down.
Yeah. It's nice. It's like being on a bike, man.
Yeah.
It's, you're not in competition with anyone except for yourself. You're only pushing yourself.
You'll never beat the road.
Yeah.
It's harder than you.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
You have to find it and live with it. And there's no other way to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to live with it. Like whatever it's presenting you, you have to live with. You cannot straighten the road out. You're going to accept the curve, or you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
And that's in the same way with shooting, man.
Yep.
It's and it's hard to explain to people sometimes that you know not all people that enjoy shooting are gun nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
And
the guy who screams magazine when you said clip.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, calm down, Junior. It's fine.
There are so many people in that industry. And people not even in the industry that are so particular about every little thing and you know, like pick apart people's posts. Oh man, you know, that grip is stupid. You know, this sucks.
It's annoying. I don't care for
this piece of equipment over that piece of equipment. And at the end of the day, you know, like it's like, can you make the shot or not?
That's it.
That's kind of all I break it down to.
What do you want
to
do? Like, what are you going to do? Because you've got this band, you've got this ability to build guns, you've got this ability to build motorcycles.
Sure.
At some point, you're going to have to choose. I guess you never have to choose one. But is there another thing on the outside you haven't really jumped into yet, but you're thinking of?
Man, you know, not really. I mean, those are the majority of my hobbies, right there. You know, just anything building stuff, like working on bikes, right, working on guns and stuff. That's kind of my zen time away from people off the road. And it's part of the balance for me. You know, we go from city to city to city. And when we're off tour, I want to be anywhere but the city, like Disgraceland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now like there's somewhere to go, a real zen to it, man.
Get away and just do your own thing and work with your hands and say, man, I did that today. It well, might not matter it. To anyone else but me, but I know like I dug right. up that big boulder and I moved it from here to there and that was awesome.
Yeah. And it's not always a clear, easy decision, like how it gets done. You got to figure mm-hmm. it out. And there's something to be said for that. I went through a period where when I got to Graceland, I realized, man, I don't know how to do stuff anymore. Like I had such a great time having this incredible job behind a microphone that I'd forgotten how to cut down trees, how to build a road, I didn't know how to use a skid steer. I didn't know how to use heavy equipment. There was a bazillion things I didn't know anymore. Yeah. And I felt that there was a bit of shame in it. And I was like, no, I think I'm going to relearn this. And then you realize, man, there's a bunch of sanity out there, like just learning how to do stuff.
Do you feel like, have you ever felt like your dad always knows more than you when
yeah.
it comes to stuff like that?
Always.
And that's one of the things is like, I'm always trying to soak up my dad's knowledge because I'll approach him with a project and be like, hey man, I was thinking about doing this and I've thought it through what I think is every angle. And I'm like, man, you know, this is, I've got it all worked out in my head and on paper here and see, this is going to be awesome. And he'll look at it and go, huh, well, what if you did this instead of that? And I'm like, gosh, that's so simple.
Yep.
How didn't I think of that?
Yep.
You know, I'm trying to soak up like all that knowledge.
Everybody around me, I do the same thing everywhere I go.
Yeah.
All the guys that come out, every heavy equipment guy. I mean, I could literally run down a list of names. I can tell you what I've learned from every single one of them.
Yep.
And I continue to learn from every single one of them.
It's great, man.
Yeah. No, that's it. You gotta know that you don't know. That's the first step.
Yep.
You got to admit you don't know.
Yep.
And so many people like won't try something because that means they have to admit that they don't know how to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like people being afraid of taking a motorcycle safety course. I'm like, it's okay, man. I don't know how to do everything.
That's where you go to learn.
That's
you know?
It.
Exactly.
That's
you got to start somewhere. And I think Jesse James said something back on that when he had that show, like the
Full Throttle
Monster Garage.
Oh, Jesse James. Yeah.
You know, he said he made a comment about the people that come on his show. And he's like, usually the guys that say they know exactly what they're doing have no idea. And the guys right. that, you know, he'll walk up to him and be like, hey, man, you sure you know what you're doing there? They're like, nah, yeah, just kind of figuring it out as I go along. Like, those are the guys who make stuff happen.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. You just don't be afraid to say, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Nothing makes you look dumber than saying you do and you don't have any idea.
Yeah, there's no manual on how to build a set of Meteorite 1911s. You know, you figure it out as you go.
Yeah, yeah. I'm working my way up to that set of balls. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. That's one of those things like that's because you blow that, man. You definitely burn through, you know, $75,000 worth of material.
Yep. Easily.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think one of the only other big things I've got on my bucket list is I want to build a house. I want to have time to build a house.
I'm in that same boat where I want to do that at Graceland, design it and get weird.
Yeah.
Not necessarily giant, but certainly weird.
Yep.
Hidden tunnels. Like uniques, walls that move, better ideas. Yeah, no, that's a whole nother thing we can jump into, man.
Yeah, someday when you're long gone, someone's going to walk through that place and be like, what was this guy thinking?
Yeah, I hope so.
What is this room for?
Yeah, you know? No reason at all. It was just cool, man.
Yep.
All right, listen, you know, let me do this real quick. Let me give some of these tickets away so people can see the show. Tonight.
Call now, 576-7989 or toll free 1-866-989-ROCK. Caller number 9 is going to see Pop Evil. Let it ride. Pop Evil.
Here I come, yeah! I'm waiting all my life to get out of the trenches. I'm ready to fight for...
Tuesday, April 23rd.
Pop Evil returns to Kansas City at the Truman.
Pop Evil. April 23rd, the Truman. Welcome back, Pop Evil. And you could be there if you just call now.
Let's go. 576-7989. Pop Evil. Memphis Mayfire. Messer. Tonight, the Truman. It's a rescheduled show, but I got a pair of tickets for you. You want to go? Be calling number 9 right now. 576-7989.
That girl, she's a loaded gun. Gonna take them out, take them one by one. She knows when she's dressed to kill, she'll pull up.
Oh, You're on the air.
Johnny there, you magnificent son of a bitch. Tell me I'm going to see Pop Evil.
Oh, you glorious bastard. Tonight, Pop Evil, the makeup show at the Truman, all right?
Hell yeah. Hey, man, Matt's a cool dude, man. It's been good listening to him.
You say hi.
Hey,
he's
thanks,
right
brother.
Hey, Matt, man, you're awesome.
Cool. You coming out tonight?
You know I am.
Awesome. Look forward to see you there.
All right, man. You guys kick ass.
Thanks, brother.
Stay right there, man. God, you listen to all this stuff. You're talking about the fact you guys can do a set list of songs that were all radio hits.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. By the way, I haven't even asked about the guys. How's Lee? How's everybody?
They're doing great, man.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, man.
Yeah, really, really well. We're getting, you know, we're at that point in our career where we can take a little bit of time off. So, you know,
nice.
Our next show is Rocklahoma after tonight.
Excellent.
So we've got about a month off. And then after that, you know, a month sprinkled in here and there.
What happens after Rocklahoma? I'm just trying to think about if you want to come in, man, you can, if you got time, I got an extra bike. We can ride down there and then ride back.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I could probably make that happen.
I mean, just it's up to you, but I mean, I definitely have an extra bike.
That would
for
be,
sure, man.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's, cause I'm not going to come back till Monday, but that doesn't mean you can't roll back and throw it in the garage, you know, wherever you got to go or hang or do whatever.
Yeah, our gear is, you know, getting down there on a truck and we're flying in. So, I mean, it's me in a backpack.
Yeah, there you go. Right on. Ah, dude, let me take a break. Rocklahoma, by the way, Pryor, Oklahoma is happening May 24th, Friday, May 24th. That's when you guys are playing. And it goes 25th and 26th. And you're being refuted here.
Oh, I'm getting our schedule here so I can kind of see what's going on.
I should have hugged you in the bathroom. Poor bastard. He's like, I could be asleep not looking at this dick. Hey, man, so people had asked before about that Cabot gun. If somebody wants a gun that you've worked on or something from that company that you're working with, how do they find that?
Well, pretty easy. We
C-A-B-O-T.
Yep, CabotGun.com. Yeah. Or guns, I think we're doing a new website. Our old website was G-U-N. The new website's G-U-N-S. But, yeah, email me. I mean, matt@cabotguns.com.
Are you going to, you guys going to do anything shotgun wise? Any big bore stuff?
Probably not. We're pretty strictly 1911, like that old Americana kind of thing. Yeah. It's just, it's the path we've gone down.
What's the one you want? The one you want to build? Like, I know there's something in the back of your head. You're like, this is going to be weird. I want to do this.
I've got a combination of a few things where, you know, we have one called the Icon, which basically looks like if Apple designed a gun or something like that, very sleek. And just a few nerdy things that I would do to it, you know, like bobtail it, put a different, you know, like shave the hammer on it, do like a bull barrel on it, and just make it even more simplistic.
What about collector guns? Like when you said bobtail, like it reminds me, like what about, is there anything on the older Harleys, any of those old in the jugs and the engine that you could use that steel and mill a gun out of it?
It's hard.
Is it hard enough?
Well, it's hard because, as you know, like a lot of that stuff is cast pot steel and things like that, and it's really difficult to work with.
Right. It just wouldn't hold up to the pressures.
Yeah. We've got some that we've made. You know, we have one called like the Grand Torino, like based off of that car, where it's got like similar lines, and we do the old Fordite, like grips out of Fordite. You know what Fordite is?
No.
So it's actually really cool, man. When they were tearing down the old paint booths and like the Ford factories, they dubbed this stuff Fordite, which was basically oversprayed paint that was, you know, layered and layered and baked for years and years and years.
Yeah, yeah. And it's real psychedelic. I'm just looking at it right now. It's real psychedelic, swirling in color after color, like almost like the inside, like if you split a marble open.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it's like every paint color from, you know, like the 70s and stuff like that. Basically petrified because it's been oversprayed and baked so many times. So someone was smart enough to chip all that stuff away, and there's only a finite amount of it, right?
Right.
But we got our hands on some, and we've shaved it into grips and stuff like that. So we put that on like the Grand Torino model and just like a little piece of Americana in Detroit.
It'd be so great to just do a hippie killer. Which would be a big crowd pleaser, you know.
Yeah,
well,
because
there's a bike company that make bike parts called Hippie Killer.
That's amazing. Stuff.
And how great would that be with a big peace symbol on it? Some of the Fordite grips, real super psychedelic.
Yeah.
Like that would be a fantastically irritating handgun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well put.
I would buy that.
Well put.
Dude. Let's build one. Let's do one.
That would be great. We did a handful of guns that really irritated people too. And you know, anytime you get on that subject, there are going to be people that aren't happy. But we did, you know, because all of our guns, most of our guns are 45 caliber.
Yep. Anything less is uncivilized.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. So we did a whole run of, you know, like Trump guns and stuff like that.
Yeah, people
get
irritated.
It's the 45th president. It's 45 caliber.
I did not make that connection. It doesn't matter if I voted for him or not. Like, that doesn't irritate me. It always makes me crazy when I'm like, people stray from the subject at hand.
It just makes sense for what it is, right?
Yeah.
And so we did 45 of them, and we did sequential serial numbers with every president's last name, you know, number 1 through 45, which was, of course, Trump 45. You know, and there's like an Obama 44, sure, which people are like, man, who would buy a gun with the serial number Obama 44 on it?
And it's kind of funny, man.
We made it a left-handed gun.
That's fantastic.
As well.
You know, that's collectible. Like, that's the stuff I love.
And it is, you know, there's only one of them.
I can't get enough of that stuff. Yeah.
So,
and the more odd and the more interesting, the more I love it. That to me is what makes gun. Again, I don't worship them. I like them.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
There's a huge difference in that. I'm not afraid to walk through this world without a gun.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to, I'd like to use a hammer if I have to build a house. You know, I'd rather not do it with a rock, you know? So there's a reason
right
for
tool
everything.
For the job.
That's it, man. That's all it is.
Yep.
It's not a religion, and it's not your, I don't sleep with it under my pillow. You know, it's not my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful path. It's the one thing my father and I could agree on when I was a young man, instead of butting heads. And we didn't talk when we were shooting unless he was giving me some tips. And we got along fantastically. He hated the way I looked, the way I dressed, the way music I'd listened to. I thought he was old and outdated. He didn't understand. But the one thing that he could show me I really loved doing was putting a hole in that piece of paper and doing it and seeing him smile and think, you're doing a good job at this.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to me.
You know, it teaches you responsibility and accountability and things like that too.
Absolutely, so. Man.
It's cool, man.
No, that's what makes you love it. That's what I mean. It means a lot to different, depending on who you are, but that's absolutely what it means to me. Listen, the show's going to be great tonight. I'm going to let you guys go. It's always good to hang out with you, man.
Great to hang out with you.
Man, I hope you get a chance to come up at all. We'll ride down to Rocklahoma together.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
That'll be a lot of fun, man. That's real. So you let me know what your schedule works out. I'll make sure the bikes are oiled and ready to go and fueled up and everything is kick-ass, and we'll ride down there on that Friday, and then if you can stay, you can stay for a few days. If not, you can come back up and just throw it in the garage and head out.
That sounds awesome.
All right, good to see you, brother.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Pop Evil tonight, you guys. Do not miss the show. Memphis Mayfire, Messer, The Truman.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.